First slide up, please, Charles. Great. Thank you. I want you to use your imagination. When I was reading that those verses not so long ago, I had this idea came into my head, picture if you like, of two rooms side by side. One of those rooms was in complete darkness. The other room was lit fully, every light was on. And in between the two rooms, there was a door which was closed. So one room's in pitch darkness, the other room's in bright light. You imagine what would happen if that door between the two rooms was opened. Next slide. Yeah. Light would flood into the darkness and light up the darkness. The darkness wouldn't flood into the light. The darkness wouldn't affect the lit room. Light would go into the dark room and make the dark room light. The darkness would not make the light room dark. It's a one way. It's a one way passage. Light overcomes darkness. Darkness does not overcome light. And that's what I want to look at now through God's word. Light overcomes the darkness. The light shines in the darkness. Jesus the light. And the darkness has not overcome it. There are two Bibles, pew Bibles. Some of them are a bluey colour with white on and some are red. If you look in one of those Bibles, you'll read verse 5, exactly as it is there. The light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. If you look in the other one, I think it's the red one, you will read, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not understood it. There's a bit of a difference between understood and overcome. You may have a Bible that says, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not comprehended it. Which basically means, as far as I know, means understood it. So, what's what? We've got two NIV Bibles on our pews. One says overcome and one says understood. Does that mean we can't trust the Bible or the translation of the Bible or what? Because to me, understood and overcome, I don't see how we can match those really, meaning the same thing. So what do we do? Do we say, oh well, there's something wrong here? This is confusing. So the Bible looks confusing. But who wrote the Bible? Well, I believe that God inspired the Bible. And God's not a God of confusion. He's not going to confuse us. And yet, we seem to have this double meaning. The light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not understood it. Or the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. Which is which? Which one do we pick? Well, I believe that knowing God doesn't want to confuse us. We don't pick either. We pick both, because I believe both can fit. You might be pleased to know that I'm only going to talk about one of those today, not both of them. But I believe we can make just as good a talk about the light shines the darkness and the darkness has not understood it as I can with this meaning. I think it can mean both. I think if you look in Scripture, we can make both of those things fit. That's my understanding. Ever since the fall, when Adam and Eve sinned, darkness took over. Instead of God as their head, they decided to disobey him, and Satan became their head. Darkness entered the world. And there in Eden, where they had everything they wanted, everything they needed, suddenly, it was no longer for them. The prince of darkness was in control. Things started to go wrong. Cain, where is your brother Abel? He killed him. Murder. First murder. had to dig in the dust, the soil, to provide food for themselves. They died. They became ill. Darkness had entered the world. The nation of Israel that God chose was to demonstrate to the rest of the world, look, if you live in harmony with me, your life will be blessed. You won't be in need. But they couldn't manage it, could they? Man by himself couldn't manage it to live in harmony with God. And so God did what he planned to do all along, of course. He sent his one and only Son. God's rescue plan to bring light back to the darkness had begun. Planned before the beginning of time. God the Son, Jesus Christ, came to earth, a light, the true light, to shine in the darkness, to dispel the darkness, to drive out the darkness, good to overcome evil. Heralded by that bright star over Bethlehem, the light which the people followed, the wise men followed. Announced and proclaimed by the heavenly host as their glory shone above the shepherds, the light pointing them to the light that had come into the world. Jesus Christ, the light, is born. And almost at once, of course, the darkness tried to overcome the light with Herod's killing of the babies, but he didn't manage it, because light overcomes darkness. Darkness does not overcome light. Satan tries to tempt Jesus when he starts his ministry to distract him, to bring darkness back where he was bringing light, but he couldn't do it because light overcomes darkness. The storm on the lake tried to kill Jesus, but he couldn't. The darkness couldn't overcome. Darkness cannot overcome light. And so Jesus came, proving that he was a light overcoming darkness, overcoming the devil's minions, casting out demons. They knew who he was. They couldn't do anything when he told them to go. They had to go. The light overcoming the darkness. One result of the fall, of course, is that people became ill and sick, and Jesus comes and heals people. Faulty bodies, diseased bodies, Jesus overcomes. The lame walk, the deaf hear, the blind see, even the dead are raised. The light overcoming the darkness. Another result of the darkness, we become needy. We don't have what we need. Jesus comes and overcomes. He provides. 5,000 people at one point that were getting weak with hunger miles from anywhere. 4,000 on another. And this I've learned recently as well. In John's Gospel, he mentions the signs that Jesus did. And the first sign that he did was at a wedding in Cana of Galilee. You know the story, I think, where he turned the water into wine. And the main meaning of that, I believe, is that he takes something ordinary and makes it special. But there's another meaning behind that. Because the people who gave that banquet had invited people to this wedding feast. And then they found out they were running short of wine. They were in need. They were in desperate need. Because in that culture, to invite someone to a party and not be able to fulfill your commitments, oh dear, that would have been the end of them socially. They'd have been outcasts, the bride, the groom, everybody. Look, that's the family that had this party but couldn't provide for us. They were in need, real need. What do we do? We're running out. We'll be outcasts in this village. Jesus provided. He turned ordinary water into wine. Darkness driven out, the light has come into the world. My final point on this, as Jesus' light shines in the darkness, so people realise they are in darkness. His light is so different from our darkness. His pureness, his righteousness is so different from our imperfections, our unrighteousness, our sinfulness. And when Peter experiences the miraculous catch of fish, when Jesus tells him to cast his net on the other side, and suddenly his nets are breaking because he's got so many fish after not catching any fish all night, suddenly realises this man's different. And he says, go away from me. I'm a sinful man. Peter realised the difference between him and this man. He had seen the light and he was aware of the darkness that he was in. Go away from me. Soon Jesus would provide the way for all to come into the light and to stay in the light and to be light. And all through his life, Jesus demonstrates light overcoming the darkness. I say the devil tried to kill him through storms and all sorts. People threatened to throw him off a cliff when they didn't like what he said, stone him in the temple. He just walked clear, because we're told his time had not yet come. None of these things happened. He just walked through life. Nothing could touch him. But then came a day, of course, when it seemed as though at last the darkness had overcome the light. He was arrested, condemned, tortured, and nailed to a cross. The darkness had overcome the light. Or had it? Or had it? So, some years ago, Sue and I went to see a production of The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. And I don't know if you know that story, but it's based on the life of Christ, where Aslan the lion is represents Jesus. And there's a point in that story where he's strapped to this stone table, ropes all over him. He's given himself up. And all the nasties, all the evil creatures in that story are all leaping around this table, leaping, we've got him, we've got him. Celebrating a magnificent feast. They've got him at last. Darkness has overcome the light. That's how it must have been as Jesus hung on the cross. All the darkness, all the forces of darkness, the devil and his demons, everything. Celebrating in this magnificent party. Yeah, we've got him at last. But then, after he'd hung there for some time, he suddenly said in a loud voice, it is finished. I've done it. And it wasn't a whimper, it was a cry. It is finished. I've done it. And at that point, all those forces of darkness must have thought, what have we done? What have we done? We haven't beaten him. And they realised, I believe, at that point, that they'd been used. They'd been manipulated. They hadn't overcome. He had used them because Jesus died, was dying on the cross, of course. He was taking the punishment, all our sin on himself and bearing it so that we wouldn't have to suffer for it, that we could receive light. And after that cry, we're told, Jesus bowed his head. And again, the word that's used in the scriptures for bowed. So it wasn't a slump. It was a gentle laying down of his head, as though he'd laying his head on a pillow going to sleep. A gentle laying down. And we're told he gave up his spirit. To many that stood there would have thought that darkness had overcome. They didn't understand what was going on. But 3 days later, and death couldn't hold him. He'd laid down his life and he took it up again. He'd done nothing to deserve death. He took it up again and rose from the dead. He'd overcome the darkness and all their forces. He'd defeated them. Disarmed the powers and authorities and triumphed over them on the cross. It was all part of the plan, of course. And he rose from the dead. This is the Jesus we follow. This is the Jesus we celebrate. This is the light of the world. Who is Jesus? Who do you say Jesus is? This is something we need to answer and think about for ourselves. Who is he? Is he God? Did he come? Did he go on a cross to die for us? Have you made your mind up who he is? Have you chosen him to follow him, your lighthouse, to safety? He's guaranteed you safety if you follow him. If we accept that and follow him. That's not the end of the story, of course. He returned to the Father and he sent his light, the light of the Holy Spirit, on his people, the people who followed him, believed in him and would believe on him. And he's come to live in all those that follow and trust and believe in him. And on that first day when the Spirit came in power on the disciples, and Peter spoke to the crowds, they knew there was something shining out of Peter. The people listened to him as light flowed from him. And the people were cut to the heart at the things he said. They knew they were in darkness. This man was in light. And they called out, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized. Follow Christ." And on that day, darkness was cast out of 3,000 people. The light overcoming the darkness in 3,000 people. Peter and his apostles and the apostles and the disciples carried on doing the work of Christ, casting out demons, providing, healing the sick, raising the dead. The light continuing to shine in the darkness. The darkness has not overcome it. And all those who are following Christ today, you have received the Holy Spirit. You have received the light of Christ, the light of the Holy Spirit. He dwells within you. That same light shone from Peter, shines from you. That light will overcome darkness. Overcome darkness sometimes supernaturally, as it with the casting out of demons, the healing of the sick, the raising of the dead even, providing miraculously. Sometimes it happens in other ways, what we might call ordinary ways. So much light has been brought into this world by people in the light, doing good. Most of our, in the world, the educational systems are based, were started by Christians. Hospitals, started by Christians. Hospices, the hospice movement. Charities, food banks. The light, overcoming darkness. Paul writes to the Ephesians, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." God's prepared works for us to do in advance. Good works. So, how is our light shining? It's the light of Christ within us. Same light that Peter had. How is it shining? I thought about how can I describe this? You know, your headlights on a car. You've got a bulb in there that shines at a certain brightness. if your headlamp's clear, if the lens is clear, it shines its full brightness. If it gets dirty, it doesn't shine quite so brightly. Sometimes the light within us doesn't shine as brightly as it should or could. How do we make sure that our light shines? We have to keep in touch with Jesus. We have to stay in the vine. We have to continue trusting him, obeying him, following him. We need to give him time in study, in prayer. We need to be totally reliant on him, not on ourselves. Everything Jesus did, his motive was love. May ours be the same, that our light might shine. Love shines. Love shines. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness has not overcome it. We should expect good things to happen when we're following God. Following Jesus, when we're there, we should expect it. We should look for it. Not just as individuals, as a church, as a congregation, as a worldwide church. We should expect the light to be pushed back. But we must also expect the darkness to try and fight back as it did against Jesus. Even with the light, even with the love, Jesus was nailed to a cross. When Jesus stood before Pilate, Pilate was convinced this man was innocent. This brutal leader from the Romans was convinced he was innocent. He could have just sent him away. Oh, go away, don't bother me. He'd done that with plenty of people. But with Jesus, he knew he was different. And he said to Jesus, "Your own people and chief priests have handed you over to me. What is it you've done? What is it you've done?" He couldn't understand it. And Jesus didn't answer. If he had, he might have said this: "I've healed the sick. I've given sight to the blind. I've fed the multitude. I've walked on water. I've calmed the storm. I've defeated demons. I've raised the dead. I've never done wrong against any man. I didn't come to be served, but to serve. And I've come to give my life as a ransom for many." And the people hated him. And he was nailed to a cross. Jesus said, "However much your light shines, do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. If the world hates you, bear in mind that it hated me first." You know, there are more people being martyred for their Christian faith in the world today than there's ever been. They're dying for their faith. This would give the impression darkness overcoming light, but is it? Is it? The people that are killed for their faith, they'll be in paradise straight away and rewarded in Jesus' reign on earth. Darkness hasn't overcome them. Sometimes we look at our Christian faith, I think, too individually. What's happening to me, instead of what's happening to the church. The church is not being put out. In places it's being squashed. But it's a bit like a heath fire that burns underground. You put it out here and it springs up there. There are many parts of the world where the light's shining. And places where the fire's been, they thought they'd put it out. They find out the faith's actually stronger. The faith's actually stronger in places where darkness has tried to put it out. Just as with Jesus, they thought darkness had overcome, but it hadn't. Just in the world today, we may think sometimes when we read the news that darkness is overcoming the light, but it isn't. It isn't. I'll tell you a secret. We win. We win. Everyone who follows Christ, we win. As someone once said, I've cheated. I've read the last chapter. We win. We win. Nothing can defeat us. Nothing can defeat the light of Christ that is in everyone who believes in him and follows him. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness has not, will not, never has overcome it. Amen.